Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, everybody. They let me out of the office. It's Kelly Kirsch live on location. We're here at Hudson's. I'm in the north. The boys, Pinder and Steinberg, will be down in the south. This is going to be a special day. You've been hearing us talk about our 50-50 draw. Our great partners at Kidsport celebrating 25 years in Calgary. We've done so many neat things with them, and this one is got benefit for everybody because obviously the money raised will help out Kidsport with kids playing sports, getting registered, getting equipment, all that kind of stuff. No matter what the sport, they try and get as many kids involved as humanly possible. So that's what we're doing. And it's the final day today. We make the draw tomorrow on breakfast television, bright and early, at 8:15 or something in the morning. So today is your day. We are we're kind of fanning out throughout the city. In the north, here we are at Crowfoot, Hudson's. You can't miss us. We've got our big Sportsnet 960 The Fan tent set outside. We've got the promo girls ready to take your order, as it were. You can buy $5 worth of tickets, and I'll get you one. You can do 10, whatever you want. And I'll tell you, we'll take your cash, we'll take your credit card, we'll take your debit, whatever you got, we can help out. In fact, you don't even have to get out of your car. And later on today, we'll be talking with the guys down south because we've got some special prizes to kind of, you know, prime the pump, as it were. We've got, courtesy of the Calgary Flames, a autographed Matthew Tkachuk jersey. So that is up. We also have an autographed Atlanta Braves Mike Soroka jersey and a few other prizes as well. So, yeah, we can be bribed and bought. And we'll talk to the guys a little bit later about that. So you can drop off at the south, on just off Shaughnessy, off McLeod Trail there. Same deal, just you don't have to get out of your car. Or you can do it here without getting out of your vehicle. Just drive on up, say hello, I want a ticket, I want two tickets, whatever the case may be. So that's what's happening today. Thanks in advance, as we've been doing this for a while, and it is the crescendo, the final chapter of our 50-50 draw right here, right now, here with Sportsnet 960 and our great partners at Hudson. So that's what's happening. We are going to talk to Eric Tkachuk coming up about 12:30. Lots going on in the Pacific Division. Big game last night in Vancouver with the Coyotes beating the Canucks. But first, let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
For us, it's important that we had resolve as a team. And it's also really important that, you know, we just kept playing. And after the first period, we were patient. And we just kept playing and playing, and eventually we broke through. So for us, it's a good, there's a lot of good teachable moments in that hockey game, but the guys did a tremendous job sticking with it. You know, it took us most of the hockey game to get the game tied, and then we're able to win it in the overtime.
There we go. Head coach Jeff Ward last night after the Flames dig in, Lou, and just get after it, and they're down 2-0, and it was looking pretty bad. The dome was quiet, and what do you know? You get 2 points because you work hard. Your thoughts on what you saw last night?
Well, I'm going to throw some back at you today, Kelly.
Okay.
And here's why. And I've talked to a bunch of people about it in the last 24 hours. So, including on national television last night, there was some real negative comments about the team in the race they were in and how they were playing through part of that game.
Yeah.
Of almost any game this year, I don't know how to properly, in a sense, assess that game. And here's why. Did you come out of the gate in the circumstances that you're in with all the focus on, you know, home ice and despite the deflection, putting the same type of game on the table? You didn't. And because of how you managed the puck early in the game, you got yourself in a hole. You turn the game. My analysis was this, and then I want to hear your thoughts. The Columbus Blue Jackets, incredibly undermanned, got that game exactly where they wanted. They dragged it right into the mud, and it was there most of the night. So when people assess, and even when the coaching staff, and we just heard from Jeff Ward, one of the reasons I wanted to start there today, A, are you okay with the fact that that team took the game into the mud? And in some ways, I think it's fair to suggest you were really not able to change or dictate to your opponent. They clogged it up, took away the middle. They packed back in their own zone. A lot of the night, they kept you to the outside. Now, that's the negative side. The positive thing is you didn't give up very much. You did stay with it. You fought your way through it, and you ended up with a result. Do you think, A, your own opinion, B, from a coaching standpoint, are there way more positives to take out of it than a game that was tough to assess because a big part of me thought, like, why can't you change this? Why can't you be the group that dictates? Or is there just more value? And I think there's value there for sure to get in the mud with your boots on.
You know, Lou, what I kind of took from that game last night is that I fully understood why the Columbus Blue Jackets are in the situation that they are. I could understand their work ethic and how they just keep doing it. They even played the three-on-three where they were getting active sticks and stuff. They played like that on the overtime. It's like, wow, they never stop this kind of on you sort of thing. I think you have to give some props to the Blue Jackets.
Oh, they deserve a ton of credit. They took it exactly where they wanted it to go. There is no doubt, Kelly, that they executed their plan by and large outside of a couple of late mistakes themselves that their fine captain Nick Foligno talked about after the game. But it's such a unique game for me because did it have a lot of jump to it? Did it have some of the old types of habits to it that has plagued this team, whether it's, you know, not quite being as sharp as they should be against teams maybe that are undermanned or don't have the same type of talent level? Or was there just, I know at the end of the day, points is really all that matters. And yes, I'm always the first to give other teams a lot of credit. But I would be fascinated because I don't think the coaches can be, like, they have to be positive about it. They have no choice because you need points, and they got points, and they did stay with it. And they did, I was told this morning, they figured they had 17 or 18 scoring chances, and guaranteed, I'm not sure they gave up 8. But to me, that was an incredibly interesting night because most days I come on this radio station and it's pretty much crystal clear as to why I think what happened, what didn't happen, where there's value, where there's work to be done. But that's why, to me, today is a real neat discussion. Albeit, does it matter? Because you already have to turn the page and get ready for another one.
Well, you sure do, and it's one of those deals where, you know, we saw some of you guys were listening to guys driving around, and you were saying, boy, it's tough to get a couple passes together, and that's you know, credit to the Columbus Blue Jackets to make sure they got in those lanes and have those active sticks. But instead of getting frustrated with it, the Flames did stick with it, and I think this year has been this study in perseverance and overcoming adversity. And that was just another chapter, Lou. It was as simple as that. It was just, okay, now we have to overcome this thing. We had a tough first goal and then a complete breakdown on the second, and it's like, well, still lots of time left, and, you know, there's 4 minutes left. You've got lots of time to score the tying goal, and overtime, who knows? So it was one of those nights where, I mean, obviously, you know, we're having a totally different discussion if they only get a point or Paris have thought they don't get that tying goal.
Okay, but should we be?
I think probably not, because I think it's one of those ones where, you know, There's no pictures on the scorecard, and you play 60 minutes, and all those cliches we kick out and lose. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes. Like that's whatever it takes. If it took to right till 10 seconds to get a win, and if you steal one that maybe you didn't deserve, well then that's just fine because maybe you know you had 2 points escape you there on last week against Nashville. So I think it all evens out, and it's just one of those kind of gut check games, and I'm fascinated how they kind of react on Friday and Sunday where they have two massive divisional games.
Well, you know, I'm intrigued every day, and you know that's the neat thing about when you're around it and you're so close to it and you have an opportunity to truly get a feel for the group. And like I said, last night was so interesting to me because, you know, I see great value in the ability to get in the mud and keep your boots on and, you know, believe and stay with it. There's a lot to be said. You're gonna have nights if you make it to the playoffs. You're going to have more of those kind of nights down the stretch. And for sure, you should be feeling positive. And, you know, if I was coaching the team, which thank goodness I'm not, there's no doubt in my mind, as you heard from Jeff even to start this segment, you know, you have to be positive. You have to give credit where credit is due. But I do think a bit of the underlying story last night is, does it help you again? Because in that clip, I heard two words, teachable moments.
Yeah.
And teachable moments to me generally resonate or are a reflection of you still need to handle things better, which is an ongoing process every single day in sports. You know, as a coach, as a manager, as a boss, everybody's always looking to push to get more. And I think the confounding situation, or sometimes the troubling, is Jeff was really happy after the trip about the focus of his group and where they were. And again, it's I wanted to have the conversation today because I think you could come at it from so many different ways in terms of, you know, where you take it. But like you said, and the one thing I'll never discount is it's still a results-oriented business, and you got what you needed to get.
You did. And I think it's a situation where you rely on different people at different times. And the guy we wanted to talk about a little bit today was someone who's been very consistent game in and game out on the 200-foot game. Gets a goal last night. Elias Lindholm, I'll tell you, that has been such an addition when you think about him and Noah coming in from Carolina. Those two guys have really been part of the chemistry of this team.
Well, Elias has been an incredible find for the group. Consistency, work, versatility, scores a goal last night after some wonderful work by Andrew Mangiapane, who just continues to, you know, Kelly, that was also a game where you needed somebody to make a play and turn the game. And Mangiapane did a great job, and Lindholm found himself in an unoccupied spot, which was not an easy thing to do in front of the Columbus net last night, to finally get you over the hump and give you some, you know, give you some fresh air and give you a reason to believe. Yeah. But Lindholm now has 29 goals, so that's a career high. He had 27 last year. He has a point per game for 31 games. 31 in 31 is the numbers. And honestly, if you had three more on your team just like him, you probably wouldn't lose a whole heck of a lot. The heavy lifting that he does on that line with Gaudreau and Monahan, takes faceoffs, huge part of both special teams. And again, I just, you know, we've heard comparisons to Patrice Bergeron, and, you know, right now he's more deemed more valuable on the wing. They're lucky to have him. And, you know, look at last night. So he scores the goal that gets you on the board. Guess who won the strong side faceoff that led to Matthew Tkachuk's tying goal? Him. little things in a game where little things were so evident because it was so hard to get anything done. But, you know, they're lucky to have him. He's incredibly intelligent, so smart. And remember, there was some question about him going in. Team had a day off Monday after the long, long travel home and the trip. Took a maintenance day on Tuesday, did not practice, which, you know, you do wonder if he's fighting a little something, not on the ice. A very optional practice today that's just about to wrap up and will by the time this segment is done. But this guy, you just, Kelly, I know you're a big fan, and all the time that, you know, I've known you, of people that just you can rely on, and there's very little to quibble about in terms of their work. That's Elias Lindholm. His work is so, so good. Does he have better games than others? For sure. But he has very few bad nights.
Yeah, that's the good news with him. And sometimes those guys that don't complain and just do their job, they sometimes go under the radar because you're more concerned about the guys that are making the noise or maybe the guys that are not performing well. But I think it's important to remember that, you know, the consistent guys that do it, you know, game in and game out, they're the ones that you got to rely on, because if they weren't, then you're probably in a whole different situation.
Well, you are, and he's such, I think every organization, every business, every family, for what that matters, you need glue. And, you know, he's a big part of the glue because of the work. You know, two of the real glue guys up front to me for this team are, you know, Elias Lindholm and Derek Ryan, and they're different, and they have different roles and different responsibilities and a different place on the depth chart. But, you know, the value is in the work, and the value is, I just think the best people isn't always about the amount of points or the flash and dash or whether you lead a league in scoring. It's, do you make people around you better? I mean, Patrice Bergeron's never won a scoring race. He's never going to win a scoring race. But does he have great value, and does he do nothing but win? Well, if winning matters, I think Elias Lindholm is truly the type of player that you can win with. And on this program, you hear a lot from me about that. And just because you're a guy who might win scoring races or have a lot of points, I'm not always convinced that when the chips are down, that you're going to win.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, you know, you need guys to get the, not necessarily, you know, always got this many points or this, but when you need it and the chips are down, I mean, they needed that goal in the worst way. They needed someone to step up, and there it is. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if the Flames get into the playoffs, what the next chapter in Elias Lindholm's story is going to be. Is it going to be one of a guy that really kind of does the hard work and gets in there and wins some games and maybe a series for the Flames? That is the next chapter that all Flames fans want to know how it's going to be written.
I agree with you. And isn't that when people really take their games to a different level? And isn't that the great separator in sports? Playoff time, when everything's magnified, when it's as many as seven battles against the same team and the same opponent trying to get an edge. That's when people, you know, that's when they create their legacies. That's, to me, what great players have the ability to do, to elevate. And really, you know, as we get to wrap this up today, the Flames are in the playoffs right now, whether they want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, those games like last night, they do demand a lot. And they do demand you to get out of your comfort zone. So, you know, again, we'll be curious. I'll have a chance to visit with them tomorrow before the coaches show and maybe get down to hear a scrum. And I know publicly you won't hear it. I am so interested, if I was in the walls of that coaching office today, to just get their true take on what last night was all about.
Yeah, it was a very, very interesting game on so many levels, and you know they win it in overtime. I got that 6:30 start kind of messed people up too. I think there was, you know, building wasn't totally full there, and but you get the win, and then you you get to get ready for two big Pacific Division battles, Vegas here on Sunday, and obviously tomorrow night against the Arizona Coyotes, who we said they needed that game in the worst way, and they got it last night, and you know they're going to be fired up. Lou, we'll talk all about the Coyotes and the game tomorrow night, and it's the mailbag as well, so we'll get to that tomorrow, but we'll enjoy the 3-2 overtime win tonight. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, off to OPA.
Attaboy.
Off to OPA this afternoon.
Let's do it.
All Flames right. Insider Peter Lubardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Yes, it is Hockey Central at noon. It's Kelly Kirsch here at Hudson's in Crowfoot. We are having our drive-by 50-50. What that means is you come up to either location, either in the north here in Crowfoot or down south just off of McLeod in Shaughnessy, and just drive up and say, hey, I want to buy one ticket. I want to buy two tickets. I want to buy a whole bunch. And we'll set you up, whether you got cash, whether you got debit, whether you got credit card. We'll do it all, because it is the final day for our 50-50, and we're going to be at a few different locations. We also have some prizes to prime the pump a little bit, so we'll be talking about that later on with Pat and Ryan. So this is going to be a fun day today. So, yeah, don't even have to get out of your car. Just come by and say hello. Hudson's in the north, Hudson's in the south, and you know what? I'm going to, first of all, Riley, how am I sounding? Am I overmodulated? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. You just sound, it's not quite right. I don't know.
It's not quite right. What if I go
like
this?
It's a little crackly.
What if I go like this? Is it better or worse?
Just quieter, but it's still, the voice still doesn't sound,
okay. What about this? What if I go like that? No.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll keep working on it.
All right.
Get it to... We'll keep working on it. We'll endeavor. But here's the scoop. And I'm going to put out a little appeal to, you know, we over the years, we've given away some amazing prizes. Hockey tickets, trips, you name it. We've given away tons and tons of stuff. Well, okay. Everybody who ever won anything on the station, today's your day. Karma's going to get you. Come on down and help us out, either in the north or the south. And come by Hudson's. Buy a ticket for $5, get two for $10, $20, whatever you want. Get yourself in the draw, and for sure we'd be appreciative. And you know Kids Sports going to make good use of that. 25 years in Calgary helping out kids play sports. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll see if I can fix our little hi-fi here and talk to Eric Tkachuk next, our NHL insider, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch live on location. We are here at Hudson's today, our final day of our Kidsport 50-50 citywide draw. We're making that draw tomorrow. Looking forward to it. So please drive on by, and we'll sell you as many tickets as you possibly want. We check in with the guys after 1 o'clock down in the south location. We've got Peter Labardius going out to OPA and West Hills. We're going to be at Cowboys later on tonight. We're going to be everywhere as we try and raise some money for our kids' sport. But first, let's talk to one of our NHL insiders. He's Eric Tkachuk back in Calgary. Eric, how are you?
Yeah, Kelly?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Sorry.
Good stuff. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad that there is no snow and the sun is out. You know, it doesn't quite feel as warm as it was where I was the last little while, but it feels like hockey weather, and that is one of the things. You know, you really notice that, you know, now that sort of the trade deadline has passed and we've kind of clicked into this first week of March, you know, I was looking at the schedule. There's less than a fifth of the season to go, and I think at this time of year, You can start imagining what the matchups are going to be. And so, you know, I love staring at the standings and seeing, you know, where Calgary is and where Edmonton is, and there's a little bit of a gap now between, you know, the Flames and Vancouver. I don't think it's too soon to start thinking Battle of Alberta first round, maybe, you know. I mean, lots of things happen. But you know, whereas before when we were talking about this, it seemed like just a kind of a theoretical thing and a long shot. But I think, you know, the way the standings are shaping up right now, months ago in the season, it could happen. And that would be really good for hockey in this neck of the woods, I think.
Now, what did you make of that game last night? It's one of those deals where it was 2-0 forever, it seemed, for Columbus. But, you know, the Flames, they find a way. They dig and dig and dig, get it tied up, and then win in overtime. It's 2 points they desperately needed. But still some of the problems that we saw that were a little alarming, you know.
Yeah, no question about it. But I would tell you that, you know, having done this long enough now, that you know, the answer is always, did they win and did they get the 2 points? And I know that, you know, like, constantly you're going to hear Jeff Ward and coaches around the National Hockey League emphasize process and doing things the right way and teaching moments and learning moments and all those different things. But it's a bottom line industry. This isn't like, you know, you going to your kids' games, me going to my kids' games, sportsmanship, you know, all that. This is who got the 2 points. And the Flames got the 2 points. It wasn't their best effort. Columbus had something to do with it. If you look at where Columbus is in the standings and you look at the injuries they've had, if you look at the personnel that are currently out of their lineup, you know, this, you know, they have to play this way. The one thing I've always admired about John Tortorella is that he coaches the team in front of him. Barry Trotz is like that too. So, you know, he has had incredibly talented teams. In when he was a coach of the New York Rangers, they had, you know, tons of talent. When he was coaching Tampa, they had tons of talent. And so you play one way when you've got Vinny LeCavalier and Brad Richards at your disposal. And you have to play another way, you know, when Seth Jones is out of your lineup and Cam Atkinson is out of your lineup and Bjorkstrand is out of your lineup, and most people who follow the game only casually couldn't identify half the forwards that are in your lineup. So he does a good job of maximizing what he gets out of his, but the net effect of that is it's deathly dull to watch, and it's really a slog. And so the fact that, you know, the Flames were sort of in that slog and found a way, they found a way, and that's the most important thing. So you take the 2 points, you put them in the standings, you start counting the games to the finish line, and you just hope for you can't hope for a better result because the result was perfect. You know, you do hope for better execution, maybe a tad more entertainment value when Arizona gets to town. But at this point, you just don't refuse the 2 points.
Eric, the other game we were watching last night, the Arizona Coyotes were in a situation where they were, you know, really needing to win to kind of keep pace with all these games in hand they were giving up to the other teams. And the Canucks, I'll tell you, anything I see on social media from any of the you know, broadcasters out in Vancouver, they are not happy with what's happening with the Canucks. And the Coyotes get it done 4-2. Give me your kind of sense of what happened in that game.
When I was watching that game, Kelly, I thought of, because one of the things I've been thinking about lately is the MVP race in the National Hockey League and sort of parsing through. And then almost always, those of us that vote, you know, will put like tons and tons, you know, it'll be forwards. You know, on my ballot this year, I'm sure, you know, it's going to be forwards 1-5. But I think you have to look hard at the other positions. And when I started to go through it today, thinking about goalies that are on the fringes of the Hart Trophy race, my thought centered on that game, because I think that what Markstrom has meant to the Canucks and what Darcy Kemper has meant to Arizona makes them, you know, certainly candidates for the Vezina Trophy, because Arizona is a completely different team with Kemper in the lineup. This is his second game back. You can just see the way they play, that they have more confidence in him than they do in Aiden Hill or Antti Raanta. You know, Kemper has gone from being a guy that's on the fringes of the NHL to being one of those late bloomers that is, he's an above-average goaltender right now. And on that team, the style that they play, you know, he is so critical to their success. So that is Arizona's best hope of tracking down, you know, one of these final wild card spots, because finally they get the guy that has been their MVP back in the lineup. So you can say all you want about Taylor Hall and you know some of these younger players that have started to become better for them, you know, the Lawson Krauses of the world. But getting him back is critical. And the corollary of that in Vancouver is that without Jacob Markstrom, they're a different team. You know, sort of Louis Domingue the other night, not very good. And Demko, I think a lot of people believe, is going to be a very good NHLer in time. But it takes time, and he's not there yet. And yet, when you see the way Markstrom play, I mean, he made the All-Star team. You know, wasn't able to play because of an injury. But with him out of the lineup, they're not, you know, they're a very average team. With Markstrom in the lineup, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Pettersson looks better, Hughes looks better, everybody looks better. So that to me is really critical. One team, Arizona, has their goalie back, and the other team is still missing their goalie, and they just can't afford to be without Markstrom for too much longer, I don't believe.
And we'll see them on Friday or tomorrow night, obviously, as Arizona comes to town. And then we get to see Vegas at the Saddle Dome on Sunday, an early start, a 5 o'clock game. And Vegas, with 82 points, leads the Pacific Division right now. Oilers do have a game in hand. What are you hearing out of Vegas? They've had some injury problems. They were busy, you know, fairly at the trade deadline. This is their third year, and you know, there's no more novelty. Now it's kind of like we're a playoff team. We want to have something happen. What are you sensing out of Vegas right now?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people made a big deal out of, and rightly so, that they picked up Robin Leonard to sort of supplement the goaltending of Marc-Andre Fleury. And you know, they're both excellent goaltenders. And, you know, Fleury, certainly in the last little while, has gone back to being Marc-Andre Fleury. And that's critical. You know, for them to have any kind of success in the playoffs, I think he needs to be the goalie that he was the last couple of years in the postseason. I liked the fact that they went out and targeted a defenseman, Alec Martinez, that solidifies the only real thin part of the team. I you know, they've seen Shea Theodore take a jump to the next level. He is their clear number one. There was a period of time where, you know, that whole 1-6 defense, you know, you had Nate Schmidt maybe at the top of it, and then a whole bunch of guys that were really interchangeable. That has changed. You know, Shea Theodore is in a class by himself. I think Nate Schmidt is the next guy there. But after that, Martinez has gone in and really found a home very quickly, which is hard to do. Like, at the trade deadline, a lot of times, you know, players change teams, and it takes weeks to sort of sort out, you know, how to fit with a new team, how to, you know, play a new style. You know, you're in the hotel a lot of times, so it just changes your routine, and players tend to be creatures of habit. So that's the one thing that has happened in Vegas. They've gone in there and fully integrated very quickly a defenseman that has a championship pedigree. So I've said this before. I've all along I thought they were the best team in the West. I'm surprised that they haven't created more separation. The fact that they've really picked it up in the last little while. I mean, still haven't really created any separation. They're only 2 points up on Edmonton. But I mean, they're 9-1 in their last 10. I mean, they're really good. And so I think I think Vegas is going to win the division. And you know, with luck, it'll be Edmonton and Calgary 2 and 3. So.
Okay, then we. That's a whole different show. What's the cut line going to be? Usually this time of year, we ask you, like, how many points is it going to take for somebody to get into the playoffs? The Flames right now have 77 points with 14 games left to go.
Yeah, it looks like 95. It looks like 95, but, it really is a weird year, isn't it? You know, the tightness in the middle of the standings is extraordinary, really. You know, when you look at last year, you know, there was, you know, fairly decent separation fairly early. I mean, you know, Arizona, I guess, ultimately finished 4 points behind Colorado, but you never really had the sense that they were in it. But the top eight teams and the bottom seven in the Western, there really wasn't much. Like if you go back sort of with a month ago in the season, you could pretty much forecast who was going to be in and who was going to be out, and you just can't do that this year. So, you know, that's the part that interests me: the fact that that Minnesota has played themselves back into contention with a surge. That Nashville, notwithstanding the fact that they got drubbed by Edmonton the other day, has been a little bit better. There, you know, like realistically, you know, those teams: Nashville, Minnesota, Arizona, Winnipeg, Vancouver. They're, you know, 2 points separating them, and I would be hard pressed to tell you which two of those five, assuming the teams that are in the top three spots all make it, which I guess is a fairly large leap of faith. You know, who do you like? I mean, Winnipeg and Vancouver, maybe. I think that would be good for Canada. Like, if there was a way that of the eight playoff teams in the Western Conference, if the four Canadian teams all made it, I think that would be really good for hockey in our country. But, you know, Vancouver 74, Winnipeg 74, Arizona 74, Minnesota 73, Nashville 72, and those the latter two teams have games in hand. So, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's going to take 95 to me at least, and maybe even 96.
So the Flames are going to need 18 more points somehow, or 19. Something like that.
Yeah, which is okay. Doable, you know.
And, yeah, that's reasonable.
The point that you raised in your segment with Peter, you know, so much has been made about their record at home, and I do think they seem to play a bit more tentatively. Like, it just seems that on the road, they just play, and at home somehow they seem to come out, and there seems to be like a touch of nervousness, and you know, waiting for something bad to happen. So that's why I thought the win was really critical. And something bad did happen. They fell behind 2-0 really early against a team that does a really good job of shutting them down. They found a way of pulling it out. If that changes the mindset and the mental approach to home games, that would be really critical, because you know, there should be a home ice advantage, and there usually is in all professional sports at all levels, and that has not been the case in Calgary this year. So you've got to, you know, flip the script and make it a home ice advantage if you can. It you know, that, on paper, that's a very favorable looking schedule.
Eric, we've got a split. We've got a busy show. We appreciate you taking the time. We will talk to you on Tuesday, and we'll see where we're at in the Western Conference. The Pacific Division might change all again. You never know. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Good luck with your fundraiser.
Appreciate it. There we go. Eric Tkachuk right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We have him Tuesdays and Thursdays here on Hockey Central at noon. Yes, we're having a big fundraiser. It is our final day for our 50-50. It's like a telethon, except it's on the radio. So it's like a radiothon, except we're still doing our content, because we've got Pat and Ryan going down Hudson South, Shaughnessy, just off McLeod Trail. We got Peter Labardius fanning out at West Hills for OPA. And we'll have our promo crew going down to Cowboys. And we're going to talk to Kyle from Cowboys next as we wrap up Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch live on location at Hudson's. Here we are in Crowfoot as we have our final push for our 50-50. If you're in the South and you're anywhere near Hudson Shaughnessy, stop in and help us out, because we've got people set up there. You won't even get out of your car. Same thing here, Crowfoot. And later on tonight, it's the big wing off down at Cowboys. And to talk about it, it's Kyle. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm good. How about yourself, Kelly?
We're doing good. So tell me, what is your role with Cowboys?
I'm the operations manager at Cowboys. So just the general operation with Cowboys, yeah.
So you have some crazy stories, I imagine, around Stampede.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple in there. You see a lot of different things in a nightclub. It gets pretty fun.
We just can't say them on the radio. That's just the thing, right? So,
exactly.
Hey, so Kyle, we're busy. You guys do so much with us. We have all kinds of events at Cowboys. Everybody knows where it is there, right by the Stampede grounds. And today it's the Wing Off, which is always a lot of fun. If you like chicken wings and you like having a good time, this is for you. Give us the rundown on for folks that are heading down and looking to help out Kidsport.
Yeah, so this is the fourth annual Wing Off in support of Kidsport Calgary. It's a charity event where 17 different vendors are coming down this year with 18,000 different wings. It's a super awesome opportunity to go and eat a lot of food. The whole point of it is for Kidsport to raise some money, and it's Kidsport Calgary that we're helping out. Their general need is registration fees assisting over 5,700 local kids and providing another 3,000 kids with being able to play sports throughout the year.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do, and they just, you know, the need is always there, and we try to help them out as much as we can. And I know Cowboys is always ingrained in the community, doing all kinds of charity events year after year and day after day, and here's another one tonight. So you got a bunch of different vendors coming down. Do you have any idea of how many different flavor combinations you're going to have?
You know what? I can't say specifically that, but I mean, there's 18,000 wings coming down totally.
So,
for the most part, each vendor is just bringing one specific flavor of wing. There's a few that may have multiple, but no matter what, you're going to get some different tastes out of all of it.
And then there's always a bit of a silent auction set up. I know our 50-50 crew will be down there as well. So let's say I'm listening in. I go, you know what? I've had a hard week. I want to go have some fun. I want to go to the Wing Off. How do people do that? How do they get tickets? How much do they cost? All that kind of stuff.
So tickets can be purchased at the door for $25. As well, there's odd tickets online that they can download before getting to Cowboys. It's a super simple process. As long as you're 18 plus, you're more than welcome to join. You just have to enter through the casino and then to the Cowboys venue and walk right in, and I'm sure you'll get a whiff of the smell while you're getting through the doors.
Exactly. It's going to be fun, and the food smells so great there. You set it up there on the dance floor, and you can just, you know, go back for more and go back for seconds or thirds, you know. And the good thing is, you know, tonight the calories don't count, right? So that's the cool part, because
exactly. It's
for charity, right, Kyle? Right?
Yeah, exactly. For charity, and
exactly.
I think that's what Wednesdays mean.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, you know what? You guys have done so many good things in the community. I don't think people kind of know how, you know, there's just so many events year after year, and we appreciate you doing that. Thanks for helping out KidSport. Thanks for coming on the radio today. You did great, and look forward to hope we pack that place tonight.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kelly. Looking forward to it. Have a good one.
There we go. There's Kyle from Cowboys, and yes, the Wing Off for KidSport goes tonight, so get on down there. It's an awesome. I've been there. I don't know if I'm going to get down there tonight, but I've been to the first three, and they are awesome. Let me assure you that. Okay, here's what's happening. We've got a busy show today. We got Ryan Pinder starting at 2 o'clock. We got Pat starting at 1 o'clock. And what's going to happen is we're going to have the guys down in Shaughnessy at Hudson's, Canada's Pub, just off McLeod Trail. Can't miss it. We're going to have Peter Labardius doing his thing over at OPA in West Hills. And so we're going to have, like, radio guys all over the place. And, of course, I'm here in Crowfoot. And the whole purpose of this is to drive by, pull up. You can't miss us because we got our big sign out in the front. We got our promo crew ready to take. If you want to buy one ticket, that's great. Two, three, whatever. And just keep in mind, if you, you know, we're going to figure out what we're going to do for some of the cool loot that we have. You know, because if you come with a really good donation, who knows, you might get a Matthew Tkachuk signed jersey. That'll be okay, right? It's all for charity, helping out KidSport. Our draw is tomorrow, so that's what's happening. Want to tell you what else is going on. We've got a busy weekend. Of course, the Flames will take on the Arizona Coyotes tomorrow. That's going to be cool. The Hitmen have a Saturday night home game, which doesn't happen very often. They take on Spokane, so we'll be doing our thing with that. We've got our UFC show coming up, so that is on Saturday as well. Looking forward to it. We're going to be busy, 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 just the way we like it. But we're here at Hudson's in Crowfoot and down south as well. And help us out if you can. We'll make the draw. Somebody's going to win 20 grand tomorrow, so why not you, right? Why not you? We'll do that. We'll be checking with Pat coming up next as we'll go from the north to the south. And Pat will have his take. He was on the air, obviously, with the Flames comeback win 3-2 in overtime yesterday. Yeah, the playoffs are upon us, getting closer and closer. With just a few more games left to go, we'll get the whole update from Pat and a bunch guests lined up as well. It is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.